They have made the effort. Now, as I mentioned, my respected brothers, we have to accept the fruit of those efforts, and in order to protect the deen of Islam, let us stick to what is proven from Nabi Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In that we will get reward from Allah Ta'ala. And concerning the night of Mi'raj, let us understand that the occasion of Mi'raj, when it took place 1400 years ago, without a doubt, that night was a very, very great night. It was a very blessed night. Allah Ta'ala blessed His servant Nabi Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But the fact that Mi'raj each year, that is, for instance, the 27th of Rajab, or whichever night Mi'raj took place each year, the fact that now it is a blessed night, each year it recurs over and over again, there is absolutely no evidence, there is no proof from the ahadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to this manner. That is, the night of Mi'raj does not recur, that is, the blessings of that night does not recur each year. The Sahaba did not celebrate such a night, the Sahaba did not increase the ibadahs on a night regarding it as the night of Mi'raj. We, the Ummatis of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we should not give any attention towards 27th of Rajab or 26th of Rajab, or whatever night we consider the night of Mi'raj to take place. Because, my respected brothers, while if you ask any person when the night of Mi'raj took place, automatically the first reply that comes upon his lips is the 27th of Rajab. But if you look at the books of Islam, if you look at the books of the Shariat, if you go into the past, we find that the Mu'arikheen, the historians of Islam, there is so much of difference of opinion. They themselves do not know with certainty which night the night of Mi'raj was. We find that if you look at the various aqwal, the various calls, most of the tabi'in were of the opinion that it took place in Rabiul Awal. Some say Rabiul Akhir, some say Rajab, some say Ramadan, some say 14th of Rabiul Awal, some say 17th of Rajab. Why is it that all of a sudden 27th of Rajab has become so famous, and each of every one of us accepts it as the night of Mi'raj? If you tell somebody that there is a doubt concerning it, he will say, what blasphemy are you talking? What is strange thing? Every one of us knows that is the 27th of Rajab. But as I mentioned, my respected brothers, if we have to look at the books of history, there is no certainty as to on which occasion the night of Mi'raj took place. And from this, a very fine point and a very important point is gained, that if the Sahaba attached any importance to the night of Mi'raj, and on each year they would celebrate this night, or they would increase their ibadah, then how could there have been a doubt as to when Mi'raj took place? Because, for instance, if it took place on the 1st of Rajab, and all the Sahaba gathered in the masjid every year on the 1st of Rajab, and they made ibadat, and then the Tabi'in started doing it, then every one of us would have known without a doubt that that night Mi'raj took place. But because the Sahaba didn't give any importance to this, because Nabi Prophet did not instruct them to give any importance concerning this, that is why we find there is so much of doubt concerning when the night of Mi'raj took place. It is for us to think and realize this, my respected brothers. Nobody is saying don't make ibadat on this night or any other night, but don't make ibadat on this night thinking that it's the night of Mi'raj and it holds some special significance. Without a doubt, my respected brothers, the true Mi'raj will be at getting up for that Fajr Salah. And before that, we find that it is proven in the Sahih Hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he says that Yanzil Rabbuna Tabaraka wa Ta'ala Hina Yabqa Thuluthul Layl Al-Akhir, that on the last third of every night, Allah Ta'ala comes down to the lowest heaven, and Allah Ta'ala says, May yad'uni fa yastajib lah, may yas'aluni fa u'ti lah, may yastaghfiruni fa aghfir lah, aw kama qala Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala in the last third of every night is coming down to the heaven, and he's calling out to his bandas, he's calling out to all his creation, that who is there to ask for me that I may give it to him? Who is there to seek forgiveness from me that I may forgive him? Who wants anything? Who desires anything? May I grant it to him? My respected brothers, night after night, this is taking place every night, and we find that we are sleeping through this. We do not worry. No attention is given to us tahajjud salah. And then, something which is absolutely not proven, that the night of Mi'raj has any significance, then all of a sudden each and every one of us wants to get up. My respected brothers, when it is proven from the Sayyid Hadith of Nabi Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who did not tell any lie, that Allah Ta'ala himself is begging from his bandas who wants forgiveness on the last third of every night, why do we let such opportunities slip us by? Let us make this effort. May Allah Ta'ala give each and every one of us the tawfiq that we start getting up for tahajjud salah, and we start begging from Allah Ta'ala, making dua for our brothers in Palestine, making dua for all the Muslims in the occupied territories, making dua for our brothers in India that are going through so much of difficulty, making dua for ourselves and our families. Let us use these opportunities. Let us utilize these opportunities. Unfortunately, our priorities have gone all wrong. We find we give so much of attention in other things, where we find if you tell a person to get up a little bit early, perform your tahajjud salah, straight away he thinks to himself that if I'm going to get up that much early, then my attention won't be there in work, I will be a little bit tired. We find in the hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the direct contrary is mentioned. It is said concerning a person who will get up for tahajjud salah, that that person will get up in that day, nashitan tayyiban nafs, that he will be chust, he will be filled with vigor, he will be filled with a clean heart on on that day. On the other hand, a person who does not get up for his tahajjud salah, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that such a person will get up khabithun nafs kaslan, that his nafs will be filled with khabasat, will be filled with dirt, and he will feel very, very lazy on that day. Definitely, if we start now, for the first couple of days, we will feel a little bit tired, the dhoka of shaitan will come. But when the words of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are there for us, that Allah Ta'ala will give us the strength to carry out the day, and there will be so much of more barakah. Think to ourselves that if we leave the TV a little bit earlier, if we leave the shaitan box, turn it away from our homes, turn away all this filth that is coming to our homes, and sleep a little bit earlier after our Isha Salah. It is said concerning Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he would dislike that a person should involve in any talking, in any vain activities after Isha Salah. He would want a person to sleep away so that the person may get up for his tahajjud salah. It is time our priorities became, we begin to realize our priorities and begin to realize what is important, my respected brothers. So we find that nevertheless, after having performed the salah, Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was taken up to the seven heavens. On the first heaven, he met Hazrat Adam Alayhi Salam. On the second heaven, he met Hazrat Yahya and Isa Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. On the third heaven, he met Hazrat Yusuf Alayhi Salam. We find that before being allowed to enter into each heaven, we find in the hadith, it is mentioned clearly, as Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam approached each heaven, it was questioned, he was asked that, Jibreel Alayhi Salam was asked, who is there, saying who he was. Yeah, he was asked, is there anybody with you? Then he would say that Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is with me. Then he would be asked, does Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself have permission now to go further? Then Jibreel Islam will say, yes, he has been sent for. Then only the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, despite his rank, permission had to be sought at each heaven, and he would go on. On the fourth heaven, he met Hazrat Idris Alayhi Salam. On the fifth heaven, Hazrat Harun Alayhi Salam. On the sixth heaven, Hazrat Musa Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. And on the seventh heaven, Hazrat Ibrahim Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. It is said and mentioned in the riwayat that Hazrat Ibrahim Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, when Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met him, he was leaning against the Baytul Ma'mur. The Baytul Ma'mur, is we find, is in direct line with the Kaaba on the seventh heaven. It is the equivalent of the our Kaaba, like how the Kaaba is to us, the equivalent of it, it is to the Farishtas. They also perform tawaf of it. And it is said, for us to gain some idea of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Qudrat and the number of Farishtas Allah ta'ala has created, it is said that from the time of the creation of the Farishtas right up to the day of Qiyamah, each day 70,000 farishtas are allowed to go and perform tawaf of the Baytul Ma'mur, that is in the seventh heaven, and the turn of no single farishta will come again right up to the day of Qiyamah. Each day a new 70,000 go and perform tawaf. So great are the number of the farishtas which Allah Ta'ala has created. We find that thereafter Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went up to the Sidratul Muntaha, which is a giant tree. He said concerning the size of that tree, Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the size of the leaves were like the ears of elephants. And we find that nobody was allowed to go beyond the Sidratul Muntaha. Jibreel Alayhi Salam himself said that if I have to step one step further, then I will be burnt into ashes. Only Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was allowed to go beyond. And he stood right before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he conversed directly with Allah ta'ala. This is the izzat and this is the honor which Allah ta'ala gave Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Concerning the fact of whether Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually saw Allah ta'ala or not, we find there is a great deal of difference of opinion concerning this matter. On the one hand, we have Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, the beloved wife of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who says that any person who says that Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw Allah Ta'ala on the occasion of Mi'raj, such a person has attributed a lie to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, we find Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw Allah Ta'ala on the occasion of Mi'raj. The ulama have explained this difference of opinion in this manner, that on one occasion Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu asked Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, did you see Allah Ta'ala? Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied that I saw Noor. We find that in front of Allah Ta'ala there are various pardas, there are various veils of Noor. So ulama explained it like this, that why Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam may not have directly seen Allah Ta'ala, but he would have seen these veils of Noor in front of Allah Ta'ala and he conversed directly with Allah Ta'ala. Concerning the ru'yat, concerning seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find in the hadith of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is mentioned that إِذَا دَقَلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةَ, that when Allah Ta'ala will enter all the jannatis into jannat, then Allah Ta'ala will address the jannatis, that he will ask them that turiduna shay'an azidukum, do you want anything more that I may grant you? And we find, my respected brothers, that in jannat, when Allah Ta'ala has given them that which no eye has ever seen, that which no ear has ever heard of, and even the thought of it, we have not even imagined such things, then obviously they will reply to Allah Ta'ala that alam tubayyid wujuhana, did you not enlighten our face? Alam tudkhilna al-jannah, did you not grant us entry into jannah? Alam tunajjina minan nar, did you not save us from the frightening, terrible punishment participants of the fire of Jahannam, that what more can we ask from you, that we have got everything. Then it is said that fayukshaful hijab, then Allah Ta'ala will remove this veil of nur from in front of him, and all the jannatis will see Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And it is said, وَمَا أُعْتُوا شَيْئًا, they will not have been given anything that will be more beloved and more blessed to the jannati than the sight of Allah Ta'ala. It comes in some riwayat that something like 40 years they will stay at the magnificent splendor of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Such a great favor Allah Ta'ala is prepared to grant his bandas. We find that in Tafsir Ibn Kathir Rahmatullah Alayh, he mentions from Ikrimah, وَأَنْ إِكْرِمَةَ أَنَّهُ قَالْ لَوْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ نُورَ جَمِيعَ بَصَارِ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِّ وَالدَّوَابِ وَالطَّيْرِ فِي عَيْنِ عَبْدٍ, that if Allah Ta'ala, we find that the faculty of sight which Allah Ta'ala has given us, such a great ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala, that it is said that 1 millimeter of the eye can accept 30,000 separate points of light in 1 second. Such qudrat of sight Allah Ta'ala has given the banda. And we find that the ability to see is that amount of nur which Allah Ta'ala puts in our eyes, that is the amount of sight which we will be given. And we find, my respected brothers, that the more nur Allah Ta'ala gives, the more we will be able to see. Allah, we find in this riwayat it is mentioned that if Allah Ta'ala had to take the faculty of sight, had to take the nur that is found in all of insan, in all of the jinnat, in all of the birds, some birds have such power of sight that we know that flying over the mountain, they can see the ripple in that water and they will swoop down and take that fish. Such sight Allah Ta'ala has given. All the birds, all the animals, all that nur, if Allah Ta'ala had to take it and place it in the eyes of one person, give him such power of sight, then ثُمَّ كَشَفَ حِجَابًا وَاحِدًا مِنْ سَبْعِينَ حِجَابًا دُونَ الشَّمْسِ, then Allah Ta'ala had to remove one of the 70 veils of light between us and the sun. Then Allah Ta'ala, then in mentioned the riwayat that لَمَسْتَطَعَ الْعَبْدُ يَنْدُرَ إِلَيْهَا, despite being given such nur, he will not be able to look at the sun. And then it mentioned in this riwayat that وَنُورُ الشَّمْسِ جُزْءٌ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ جُزْءًا مِنْ نُورِ الْكُرْسِي, that the light of the sun, which is so great that we have to given all this power, we cannot even see 1/70th of the light of the sun. It is mentioned that the light of the sun is only 1/70th of the nur of the kursi. Wa nurul kursi juz'un min 70 juz'an min nuril arsh, and the nur of the kursi is only 1/70th of the light of the arsh, the throne of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Wa nurul arshi juz'un min 70 juz'an min nuris sitr, that the nur and the light of the arsh is only 1/70th of the light of the veil, the sitr in front of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Then it is mentioned that fanzur, think and ponder, if the light and the nur of Allah Ta'ala is so great, مَاذَا أَعْطَ اللَّهُ عَبَدَهُ مِنَ النُّورِ فِي عَيْنَيْهِ وَقْتَ النَّظْرِ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْكَرِيمِ أَيَانًا, that what type of nur, how great will be that nur, how great will be the faculty of sight which Allah Ta'ala will grant his banda when he is directly looking at the countenance of Allah Ta'ala in Jannat, my respected brothers. So great are the ni'mat which Allah Ta'ala is prepared to grant us in the hereafter. It is only for us to realize that the life of this world is a deception, and for us to prepare for the life of the hereafter. We find that after having spoken with Allah Ta'ala, on that occasion, Allah Ta'ala made 50 salah farz upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm going very briefly through it because we have run out of time.